Chapter 2 Harvey Shields was experiencing a nightmare. His mind refused to accept any other explanation. The shriek of steel and the cries of agony and terror beyond the darkness that smothered him were too hellish for reality. He struggled to retreat from the devilish scene and drift back into a peaceful sleep, but then the pain began gnawing at his senses and he realized it was no dream. Somewhere below, he could hear the rush of water as though it was surging through a tunnel, followed by a gust of wind that squeezed the breath from his lungs. He tried to open his eyes, but the lids felt glued shut. He was not aware that his head and face were coated with blood. His body was gripped in an immovable fetal position against cold, ungiving metal. An acrid electrical smell stung his nostrils and combined with the increasing pain to prod him onto a higher plateau of consciousness. He tried to move his arms and legs, but they refused to respond. A strange silence settled around him, broken only by the murmur of lapping water. He made another attempt at breaking clear of the unseen vice that clutched him. He took a great breath and then exerted every muscle in his limbs. Suddenly an arm tore free, and he gasped as a jagged piece of metal sliced his forearm. The agony swept him to complete awareness. He wiped the congealing wetness from his eyes and gazed about what had once been his stateroom aboard the Canadian luxury liner bound for England. The large mahogany dresser was gone, as was the writing desk and the nightstand. Where the deck and starboard bulkhead should have been was a massive cavity, and across the twisted edge there was only the fog-shrouded darkness and the black water of the St. Lawrence River. It was as if he was looking into a bottomless void. Then his eyes caught and focused on a soft reflection of white, and he knew he was not alone. Almost within touching distance, a young girl from the next stateroom was buried in the debris with only her head and one pale shoulder protruding from the broken ceiling. Her hair was golden and reined in loose strands nearly 3 feet long. Her head was twisted at a grotesque angle, and blood seeped from her lips, streaming down her face and slowly dyeing her cascading hair crimson. Shields' initial shock receded and a spreading sickness took its place. Until now, the specter of death had not crossed his mind, but in the lifeless corpse of the girl he could read his own diminishing future. Then a sudden thought burst inside him. In despair, his eyes vainly probed the debris for the hand case he had never let out of his sight. It was gone, swallowed up in the wreckage. Sweat erupted from his every pore as he fought to extricate his torso from its prison. The effort was fruitless. There was no feeling below his chest, and he knew with fearful certainty that his back was crushed. Around him, the great liner was in its death throes, rapidly listing and settling into the cold water that would forever be its grave. Passengers, some in evening dress, most in sleeping clothes, were milling about the slanting decks, trying to climb into the few lifeboats that were launched or leaping into the cold river, clutching anything that would float. Only minutes remained before the ship would take her final plunge a scant 2 miles from shore. Martha? Shields stiffened and turned his head toward the faint cry that sounded from beyond the demolished partition separating him from the inside corridor. He listened intently, and then it came again. Martha? In here, Shields shouted. Please help me. There was no reply, but he heard sounds of movement through the pile of rubble. Soon a fallen piece of the ceiling was pushed aside, and a face with a gray beard poked through. My Martha, have you seen my Martha? The intruder was in a state of shock, and his words came hollow and without inflection. His forehead was badly lacerated, and his eyes darted about frantically. A young girl with long blonde hair?
Yes, yes, my daughter.
Shields motioned toward the body of the girl.
I'm afraid she's gone.
The bearded man feverishly forced a larger opening and crawled through. He approached the girl, his face numb with uncomprehension, and lifted the blood-stained head, smoothing back the hair. For several moments, he did not utter a sound.
She did not suffer, Shields offered gently.
The stranger did not reply.
I'm sorry, Shields murmured.
He could feel the ship listing sharply to starboard. The water was rising faster from below, and there was little time left. He had to penetrate the father's grief and somehow persuade him to rescue the hand case.
Do you know what happened? He began. collision, the answer came vaguely. I was on deck. Another ship came out of the fog, buried her bow in our side. The father paused, took out a handkerchief and dabbed the blood from the dead girl's face. Martha begged me to take her to England. Her mother was reluctant, but I gave in. Oh, God, if only I'd known. His voice trailed off. There is nothing you can do, Shield said. You must save yourself. The father turned slowly and looked at him with unseeing eyes. I killed her, he whispered hoarsely. Shield was not getting through. Anger smoldered within him and ignited in a flame of desperation. Listen, he cried. Lost in the wreckage is a travel case with a document that must reach the Foreign Office in London. He was shouting now. Please find it. The water swirled in small eddies a few feet away. The flood that would engulf them was only seconds away. The rising tide was stained with the slime of oil and coal dust, while the night air outside was torn by the screams of 1,000 dying souls. Please listen to me while there is still time, Shield begged. Your daughter is dead. He was beating at the restricting steel with clenched fists, uncaring of the pain as his skin shredded away. Leave before it's too late. Find my travel case and take it with you. Give it to the captain. He'll know what to do. The father's mouth trembled open. I cannot leave Martha alone. She fears the dark. He muttered as though he were speaking at an altar. It was the death blow. There was no moving the grief-stunned father as his mind entered delirium. He bent over his daughter and kissed her on the forehead. Then he dissolved into a fit of uncontrolled sobbing. Strangely, the fury of frustration fell away from Shields. With the acceptance of failure and death, fear and terror no longer held meaning. In the few short moments left, he slipped beyond the boundaries of reality and saw things with abnormal clarity. There came an explosion deep in the bowels of the ship as her boilers burst. She rolled over on her starboard side and slid stern first onto the waiting riverbed. From the moment of the collision in the darkness of early morning until she vanished from view of the mass of humanity struggling to stay afloat in the icy water, less than 15 minutes had elapsed. The time was 2:10 a.m. Shields did not try to fight it, to hold his breath, staving off the inevitable for a few more seconds. He opened his mouth and gulped in the foul-tasting water, gagging as it poured down his throat. Into the airless tomb he sank. The choking and the suffering passed quickly, and his conscious mind blinked out. And then there was nothing. Nothing at all.